and it's working for now. So, if you would, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm just going to read verses 9 and 10 of Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. I'm just going to stop right there. We'll warn you when you go to Ephesians 1 and maybe start verse 9 or 10, you can't get by without looking at 1 through 8. There's no way. There's no way. I've titled this sermon, The Mystery of His Will. The Mystery of His Will. Now, I thought about this, and when you title a sermon, The Mystery of His Will, some people maybe think about the book of Revelation. Other people may think, oh good, he's going to tell us something deep and hidden, the secret wisdom of the great God Yahweh. Well, it is deep. It is deep. But it's not a secret anymore. There are secret things. And the scripture is plain. It says the secret things belong unto God. They're his. God does have secret things. But it also says Christ revealed some secret things. And Paul has told us in his epistles that God hath revealed unto him this mystery. We have been given the revealed purpose of God's will, and God's will in his word. We don't have to worry about the secret things. We have enough problems trying to understand what we got written down here. A mystery is a truth that has always been, but is revealed. It's not something that cannot be known. It's something that has been told to the Apostle Paul. He has written it down. And what Paul is writing down, what he wrote down, is not new. It was just newly revealed. When you read and study the epistles of the Apostle Paul, you will see constant references by him to the Old Testament scriptures. What he wrote wasn't new. The truth is the truth. It has never changed. What is newly revealed is newly revealed in the gospel of Christ, which Christ delivered to Paul by revelation. The first words here are saying, it says, having made known. I looked at this in the Greek, this is one word. It's about this long, but it's one word. It's in the aorist tense, which is the past tense. It is also active. Active. And the actor is God. God actively has made known unto us the mystery of his will. That's what Paul wrote. This happened in the past when Paul wrote it. It had to be revealed to him before he could write it down. I know that's simple, but that's the truth of the matter. See, there are some people now who think there are great mysteries being unfolded, you know, even as we... This book tells us, actually does tell us the future. I don't know all the future. God does. But he has given to us what he has done in our past, in our presence, and in our future. God actively revealed to the Apostle Paul the mystery of his will. And that's the his. That's the first question. Who are we talking about? Whose will is it? Paul is writing the mystery of the will of the Father who did all these things listed in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, up until this point. He's speaking of God the Father and what God the Father has done in Christ. For us and to us, both. The context of this verse is speaking of the mystery of his will toward us. That's who this book is written to. Verse 1 says, this is written... as the Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. He's writing this to believers. And all of us here who believe God qualify as those, the faithful in Christ Jesus. If you've been given his faith, the perfect faith, you are the faithful in Christ Jesus. It's not saying how faithful you are. It's saying you are full of his faith. That's the context of this verse. It is in Ephesians 3 and verse 4. Paul refers to it. Let me get the right place. Well, verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge, what? In the mystery of Christ. So what Paul wrote, it says it, afore, is the mystery of Christ. So what did Paul write before? I agree with John Gill. This is the way he wrote it. In the two first chapters of this epistle, that's Ephesians 1 and 2, which are a compendium of the mystery of the gospel in its several parts, as predestination, election, redemption, regeneration, and salvation, completely by free grace. That's the mystery of Christ. That's the gospel of Christ. Paul calls it in one place the mystery of the gospel. So what did he write afore? Well, verse 3 of Ephesians 1. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in Christ. What else did he write afore about this mystery? We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. The choosing of God has a result. The choosing of God has a result. It happened, the choosing happened before the foundation of the world. But there is a result in time, in this earth, to every chosen soul, to every person that God has chosen. Not only are we to be holy, I think that's marvelous. I think that's wondrous. I think that's a miracle. But not only are we holy, to be holy, we are to be without blame in Him. It's in Christ that we should be holy and without blame before Him. Now that is before the Father in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, is the next verse, by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. And that is where you read, having predestinated us unto the adoption of, and the word is sons. Full grown adult sons. Not just babes in Christ. Full grown adults. We are predestinated to that. And Walter's right, where it says, having predestinated us. That comes before, according to He has chosen us. We are predestinated. This is the message Paul wrote to these believers in Ephesus and to us. We are predestinated, were predestinated unto the adoption of sons. By Jesus Christ. To Himself, according to the good pleasure of what? His will. According to the good pleasure of His will. God's will has to do with His pleasure. And this is all to the praise of the glory of His grace. Wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Every single thing here that the Father has done, He has done in the Son. Every single thing that has been done to us and for us has been done in His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. He has made us accepted in the Beloved. I still find that amazing. I still find that amazing. I am accepted in Christ before the Father of lights. I am holy and without blame before Him in love. And so is everyone here who believes Him, who's been given faith, the faithful in Christ Jesus. This is where we are right now. This is not the future, although it is our future. This is where we are now. What a gift we have been given in Christ. What a life we have been given in Christ. To where God the Father can look upon me and not be revolted. And not say, go away. In Christ, we are totally and completely accepted. Because we are in Christ. Then it says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Paul can't write something down here like this. You can't write something down here like this. and leave out the cross of Christ, the redemption of his shed blood. Because everything we have, everything God gave us here, was earned by the Son of God. It was paid for by the Son of God. Without blood, there is no remission. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. And without shedding of blood, there is no redemption. There is no acceptance. There is no adoption. There is no praise to the glory of his grace. And there's no being accepted in the beloved without this redemption. Now, he didn't use the word cross here, but it says, we preach Christ crucified, is what he wrote to the Corinthians. The Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks it's foolishness, but to us who believe, Christ the power of God and Christ the wisdom of God. And this is all according to the will of the Father, and according to his good pleasure, the good pleasure of his will. It pleases God to save his people from their sins. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he hath pleased. And I will extrapolate from there. If he's done whatsoever he hath pleased, he is doing whatsoever he hath pleased, and he shall always do whatsoever he hath pleased. In whom we have redemption through his blood, it pleased the Lord to bruise him, to put him to an open shame. Why? Because it pleased the Lord to save his people from their sins. And this is the only way. Redemption through his blood. That's the only way. The forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Jesus Christ suffering and dying upon that cross, shedding his blood for remission of sins, dying, going into the tomb. That is because of the riches of his grace. That was according to the good pleasure of his will. And so is our salvation, because of this. In Ephesians 6 and verse 19, it is called the mystery of the gospel. The mystery of Christ is the mystery of the gospel, and the mystery is all of grace. Because the gospel is all of grace. All of Ephesians 1 and 2 and 3. But anyhow, this particular section of scripture, this is the gospel of God's sovereign grace in his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. All of it's true. Of who? He tells us later, Jews and Gentiles alike. That was a new thing. Jews and Gentiles alike. Circumcision matters nothing. Uncircumcision matters nothing. A new creature is what matters. And this is what God has put down here for us in black and white through the pen of the Apostle Paul, translated into English for us, that God is saving his people. Jew and Gentile alike, bond and free, barbarian and Scythian, whatever we want. This man receiveth sinners. Walter said that this morning on the radio. Then he asked the question, are ye a sinner? If you don't know you're a sinner, you don't know Christ. What was it Henry used to say? Quote that, a sinner is a precious thing. The Holy Ghost has made him so. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now for some people, that's the be-all, end-all. Forgiveness of sins. But I tell you this, that's just the beginning for us. That's just the beginning for the true child of God. Forgiveness of sins is wonderful. It is marvelous. It is gracious. And it took his precious blood. But he doesn't stop there. We are predestinated unto the adoption of sons. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. He has all wisdom, and he has all prudence. But he's abounded toward us. He's abounded. We have been given just to taste a little bit. What is it? Taste and see. Taste a little bit of the glory of God in our Lord Jesus Christ through his word. He has abounded to us. He has given us life. He has given us love. And not only a love for him, a love for his word. We want to hear the gospel preached. We want to read his word. We are, he'll go on to say, his body, his church, his assembly, his true assembly. God's grace is always specific, particular. That's what his gospel says. Paul wrote this to the saints at Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. It's grace be to you, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us according as he has chosen us, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to the praise and the glory of his grace, in whom we have redemption. The only way you can claim any of these promises is if he has given you life and faith and love in him. This is a message for the regenerated, converted child of God. And this is part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Christ has never been an accident. It was never just a possibility. It is according to the good pleasure of his will, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. What? According to his good pleasure. It's his pleasure to reveal his son to his people. And the salvation of his people in his son pleased God the Father, which he hath purposed in himself. There's a lot of things going around, and there's a lot of places where you can go where they will ask you, if you have, and the word nowadays is input. You understand, this is the salvation of God that Paul's writing here. There is no input from man. There is no input in purpose or in the accomplishment of the salvation of God's people. It is totally and completely the work of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's the work of God. We can't do any work. We can work, but we can't do any good work. It's the purpose of God, which He purposed in Himself. Man has no part in the purposing or the accomplishment of the work of the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit. But He doesn't just leave us here. I said that. And verse 10 is where it tells us. Because this is the future. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time. Now look that up. It means the administration and the completion of time. It's what the fullness of time is. The completion of time. He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. In Him. He will gather together in one all things in Christ. Now, at one time, we were only in the mind of God. He predestinated us unto the adoption of sons. That happened before He chose us from before the foundation of the world. We weren't anywhere around there. But in Christ, we were there together. And one day, God is going to gather together all, everything in Christ, all of His people in Christ, in one. There's going to be not only a unity of the Spirit, there's going to be a unity of the body. In one. Heaven and earth, it doesn't matter where you are. There's going to be a gathering. And this hasn't happened yet. This has not happened yet. Believers have more to look forward to than a new heaven and a new earth. Right. Believers are going to be in a way that we are not now. We are one, His assembly, one church, one body. But there's coming a time when it's going to be totally and completely perfect, because it's not only a new heaven and a new earth, it's a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. I have no idea what that's going to be like. I cannot comprehend sinlessness. I know my sins have been forgiven. I believe that with all my heart. But that doesn't stop me from sinning every day. It may stop some sins. I may not do some things I used to do. I may not do everything I get these goofy thoughts in your head at one time or another. But I cannot comprehend sinlessness, perfection in me. In you. We are such fallen, wretched creatures on this earth. Earl, you say, I was depraved, I am depraved, and I'll be depraved until I awake in His likenessness. and I won't know how to act.
Yes, I will.
But I can't comprehend it now. But that is what we are. That in the dispensation, that is a statement of purpose. The word that. In the dispensation of fullness of times, he may gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to what? The purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. The mystery of his will is revealed in the gospel. That the salvation of his people is not even complete yet. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. There's a completion of this salvation that's going to happen. And we are going to be gathered together in one with all things in Christ, according to the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory. Who first trusted in Christ? The mystery of his will is his work in his people. Jew and Gentile, bond and free, rich or poor, everyone who is saved the same way. According to the good pleasure of his will. According to the purpose, his purpose, which he purposed in himself. Paul told the Ephesian elders who came to see him before he went to Rome, he told them he had not shunned to declare to them all the counsel of God. He said he kept nothing back that was profitable. This first chapter of Ephesians was written after that. Well, Paul was in prison in Rome, I believe. The doctrine of election, the doctrine of predestination, the doctrine of redemption through his blood. All of these words here, Paul wrote to these Ephesians because it was profitable. It's profitable. There are people who want to ignore this because, Walter, they don't feel that's part of the gospel. But it is. It all flows through the gospel. Now, is it something you preach every time? No. But Paul was writing this to believers, and we are to preach this to believers. It's profitable for your soul to know that God has chosen you before the foundation of the world. And that your rest, your life, your very soul rests in his hands and not your own. That is a comfort given to the people of God by his Son. Christ said we're in his hands. We're in the Father's hands. And nobody's going to pluck you out of my Father's hand. You can't even pluck yourself out. It's important to know who saved you. It's part of the gospel. The mystery of his will is profitable for the saints at Ephesus and for those here in this room. The faithful in Christ Jesus. It's written in this book. This is all scriptures profitable for reproof, rebuke, instruction. Some people won't preach it. Some people won't hear it. But here it is in black and white. And in my Bible, underlined in red, He has given us His Word. And we are to read it. What did He say? Whereby, this is Ephesians 3 and verse 4, whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. That's why we have this book. Paul wrote it down for believers and for our comfort, for our exhortation, for our rebuke, for our instruction. The mystery of His will is the mystery of the gospel, which is the mystery of Christ. He hath saved His people from their sins, and He is bringing them in. Jew, Gentile, bond free, none of that matters. And He's assembling them, and we are part of an assembly on earth. His church, His body. His glory, to the praise and the glory of His grace. Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time. We hope, Lord, to give You some of the praise that You are due. We know we can't do much, but we want to do what we can. And Lord, You are gracious, merciful, compassionate, as well as holy, righteous, and just. You made the way to save Your people from their sins, and You are accomplishing that, bringing them in. Thank You, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.